The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome in, everyone, to another episode of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. And sadly, the Red Sox winning streak has come to an end. They lose to the Kansas City Royals tonight, 7-2, your final score. Dustin May, not impressive in his Red Sox debut. Plenty to get into there, but some good news as well. Earlier in the day, Roman Anthony signing a massive 8-year extension with the team. So with the bad, there was some good. So we will get into all of it with you. I'm your host, Jason Kelly. I'm here with Chris Filico and Mark Jacaris. Guys, not exactly how we wanted this one to go. We were hoping for a series sweep, but Dustin May, your newest acquisition, this is the guy that we were all worried about, and I think there's reason to worry. Mark, I'll start with you. How'd you feel about May's performance tonight?
Not great. I mean, what did he go? 3 2/3, I think. And the Dodgers were about to send him into the bullpen anyway. So he comes here. He gets a chance to start. I mean, I don't know. He wasn't, like, terrible. But, like, you know, you got to give me 5, you know. And I don't think Alex Cora had a lot of confidence in him. He was kind of pumped up out there, though. I don't know if you guys noticed that when he was striking dudes out, he was kind of, you know, fired up. I think he kind of liked the Fenway energy, but you can't go, you know, less than 4 innings. I mean, at that point, you're just an opener. So I wasn't impressed.
Yeah, he was definitely animated. There's no doubt about that. Brought a lot of energy, which, I mean, that much I did appreciate. And I think, you know, the vibes were pretty high coming into today, obviously. We had already won the series, looking to get the sweep, looking for 2 sweeps in a row, and playing phenomenal baseball at Fenway. And then obviously the 8-year, potentially, I think, 9-year extension, depending on how things go with the rookie of the year for Roman Anthony. And I mean, like I said, the vibes were about as high as they're going to be. 7-game winning streak. Red Sox fans, including us on this podcast, were starting to think, like, all right, there's a good potential. We're not going to re-sign Roman Anthony, or, you know, it's going to get to a place where it's going to get, you know, the money's going to get driven up to a number we're not going to be comfortable with. And I think, you know, we'll get to the contract itself later, but he signed the deal. And I thought May was, you know, he was okay in the beginning. Wasn't great. I mean, he was shaky from the start. He didn't have much command or control, obviously hit a couple of batters. But I think the offense wasn't that great either today. I mean, we had 7 strikeouts. We only had 7 hits. So anytime that you have as many hits as strikeouts, probably not going to win. But I mean, the most disappointing part was Dustin May in the bullpen, more specifically Dustin May, because he is one of the newer acquisitions. We traded our 10th ranked prospect, Tibbs III, who was the most interesting prospect from that Devers trade and pretty much the only hope that we were going to get something and salvage something from that trade other than dumping the money. And that seems to be gone at this point. So unless there's some sort of 180 that Dustin May is going to do, not feeling too great about him.
Yeah, and Craig Breslow looked like a hero when the Roman Anthony news came down. And everyone said, wow, you know, good for Craig, good for this team. You know, that was really awesome. Like, you know, that's one way to make the Red Sox fans like you again after having a lackluster trade deadline. And some of that is true, but then you get to actual game time and Dustin May's on the mound. And I agree, he wasn't horrible. He didn't get, you know, his lips ripped off. You know, he was inefficient. Only went 3 2/3. He threw way too many pitches for that short of an outing. His command was all over the place. And I think this is why the Dodgers said, you know what, we're good. We don't need this guy. And I said it on the show last night. If the Dodgers don't want somebody, that's a massive red flag, because they are trying to win every single year. They accumulate as much talent as they possibly can. They spend as much money as they want. They don't care. And that's their thing. So if they're saying to a 28-year-old pitcher who has supposedly a pretty good pedigree and was once a high pick, if they're saying to him, like, yeah, we're good, you can have him, that's a huge red flag. So I'm not going to crush Dustin May tonight, because I think that there's still something there that they can work with. This is only his first start, but it was very shaky. And this is where games like this kind of make you look back at the deadline and you go, you only got Steven Matz and Dustin May. And if this start was occupied by a pitcher of somewhat better caliber, not, and it doesn't have to be Joe Ryan, right? If Joe Ryan, if those sweepstakes were as bad as we thought and they were asking for the moon and more from the Red Sox, fine. What if it was Sandy Alcantara? What if it was one of those guys on that next tier that's a tier above Dustin May, but not quite Joe Ryan territory? Or, you know, what if it was like a Dylan Cease that it, you know, from all indications, San Diego was trying to get rid of him in the last hour of the deadline. I just wonder if it would have been different, you know, and I think you ended up with Dustin May, and this guy's going to be kind of a project. And so every 5 days, if they insist on keeping him in the rotation, this is kind of what you're going to get. You're going to get some shaky starts. There might be a start here or two where he looks really good, but for the most part, it's going to be shaky, and you're going to need the offense and the bullpen to pick him up. And unfortunately tonight, neither did so.
Yeah. I really wish we had a healthy Tanner Houck, who had a tremendous first half of last year, obviously. And you know, Cutter Crawford as well, who pitched pretty well last year. If those guys are anchoring the back of your rotation, you know, and the Red Sox are playing well, don't get me wrong, but, and you know, the Kansas City Royals are a good team. They're not a great team, but they're a good team. They have some great players. But you wonder if you even need to make that trade, right? If like those guys are healthy, and they're pitching even remotely how they did, you know, last season. I was at that Tanner Houck game. I don't know if you guys remember this, but excuse me. I was at that Tanner Houck game where the game was, it was like the shortest game in MLB history since like 2016 or something. He just was like, he was on fire and he was mowing guys down, super efficient. Yeah, I wish I had those guys in the back of the rotation right now. And it stinks, because now, you know, we got to rely on basically, I mean, that was basically a bullpen game, right? Like, I mean, you know, a opener situation.
Yeah, it felt very much like that. I think, you know, the Dustin May trade is just kind of a head scratcher to me, for the simple reason that, like, is there upside there for Dustin May? Potentially. He's coming off of two Tommy Johns, though. And again, if we had traded for him at the beginning of the season or got him like in free agency, like a Giolito situation where it's a cheap contract, you're taking a flyer and there's tons of upside. And if it goes wrong, it's like, all right, we're not really losing much, but there's some time that you can build throughout the beginning of a season, have him work with your pitching coaches and try and get him right as a reclamation project. Totally for it. Understand. As a deadline move, when you're pushing for the playoffs, considering what we gave up, I just feel like our internal options were probably better and more suited for what this team needs going forward. And it would have been less of a gamble. It would have cost us nothing. And I would have felt a lot better about that, even though we were all saying like, you got to make trades. But I think sometimes the best trade in a situation like that is a trade you don't make versus just forcing one. And that one kind of felt forced. Versus the Steven Matz one, where it's like, okay, I clearly see what we're trying to do there in bolstering a bullpen that's doing really well. but it gives us more flexibility. And like Mats has great upside and good stuff. So it's disappointing, but you know, what I will say is it all on Dustin May tonight? No, there's a ton of things that went wrong in that game. And it seems like we were probably just due to lose at that point. But yeah, again, if we're talking about Dustin May, like it's disappointing. It's a head scratcher. I don't fully understand it. What I do think is it does is, you know, we have that flexibility. And for me, I'd like to see, you know, the next couple of months, especially if like we're going to have our foot on the pedal and we kind of build this gap and we're not kind of just sitting there like praying we get a spot, like we're the first wild card and we're still challenging the division. Take this time to like force Jordan Hicks, force Dustin May to really understand, like, are these guys maybe bullpen? Which one's the odd man out? You know, we already saw Alcaraz get basically DFA'd. There's a bunch of players right now I'd like to see either get sent down or potentially DFA'd. Speaking of which, if we shift gears here, Yoshida. What are we thinking about that?
So, and that's what I was going to ask you guys is, you know, we know that we know who they got. They got two pitchers, right? And we were sitting on this program, many people, other people were too, saying they could use another bat. You know, the lineup is starting to get better. Trevor Story is starting to heat up. Roman Anthony obviously is doing his thing. Jaron Duran was starting to heat up. But you still have this absence at both first base and DH. Because Yoshida, ever since he came back, he's had one good game where he had, you know, I think he had like three hits in one of his first games back, and he hasn't done anything since. And, you know, it's just the same old Yoshida just rolling the ball over, you know, swinging at bad pitches, and your first base production has gone down a little bit. Now, Romy Gonzalez is still hitting, thank God, but Toro is starting to go backwards. You know, he's starting to get exposed as kind of the 4A player that he is. So, again, you go back to that deadline, you look at it and you say, why didn't you go after a bat? You could have used another bat, even if it's just, you know, someone to play at DH. And look, maybe they were out on Eugenio Suarez, who we all would love to see here, but maybe the price was too high. I know, you know, Seattle gave up a lot to get him. So maybe the prices were too high. But at the same time, like, there has to be someone out there that's a little bit better than Masataka Yoshida. You don't have to, you know, go out for Eugenio Suarez and go and get the biggest bat possible, but can you get somebody who can at least put the bat on the ball? I mean, the bottom half of your lineup tonight was all basically offers, and that was also Willier and Sadon, and you're going to get that from those guys. We've talked about it before. It's a streaky lineup. You're going to have nights like this where some guys aren't going to hit. Could you have gone out and gotten someone that, you know, at least if they're not great defensively, who cares? They can at least hit. I mean, to me, that's the bigger second guess is you went out and got a mediocre reliever, you went out and got a below-average starter, and you got zero bats to add to this lineup. And tonight, that offense, that lack of offense, rather, really showed.
Yeah, Yoshida's hitting .222. His last 15 games, and this is going to be lower because it's not reflective of tonight. His last 15 games, he's hitting .188. I never understood signing him in the first place. And I don't know if you guys remember this, but like they were saying that Chaim Bloom basically was like, you know, bargaining with him, with himself over this, like no other teams wanted him. And he just kept raising the amount. And finally Yoshida signed. I don't know why this guy is still on the team. You know, I know John Henry and company are very fiscally conservative right now, but I think this is a situation where you gotta DFA this guy. I don't think he brings anything to the table. Any Red Sox fan who thinks he does, it's just an emotional reaction because he really, really doesn't. He doesn't hit for power. He doesn't hit for average. He can't play the field. What are we doing here? So I am so out on Yoshida. I've been out on him for a long time. And now it's showing. And I don't see how you can defend this guy anymore.
Yeah, to both your guys' points, starting with you, Mark, you almost kind of have to think that the Yoshida move might have been one of the triggers that got us to a point where we're like, maybe we shouldn't be spending so much money anymore. We couldn't re-sign Mookie Betts, and then we go out there and spend, you know, what was it, $90-something million on him. And it's been a terrible contract to this point. He hasn't even come close to that value, as low as it may seem. But to your point, Jason, yeah, like, how did we not have a better option out there? I get that Eugenio Suarez may have not been out there for us, although there seems to be rumors coming out there that we might have been in on him, not in on him. Same thing with Joe Ryan. But I go back to the Yandy Diaz. Like, he was out there, I'm sure, for the right deal. And, you know, we threw Tibbs in there, and I hate to keep bringing up his name, but we threw him in there for freaking Dustin May. If we could have packaged him and maybe a couple of other assets, and maybe even one of the big league talent, like the plethora of people that we had on this roster that are kind of log jammed. Yeah, I mean, maybe Yandy Diaz is on the Red Sox and he's able to fill two holes. He could be an everyday first baseman on an off night or two. He could also be your DH. He's a better option than Yoshida at this point, or anyone else that we throw in there haphazardly because we don't have an everyday option right now. So there's a couple of just head scratching moves. And I think, like, that Yoshida contract, that, you know, it's not shocking when you really reflect on, you know, we give Craig Breslow a lot of crap, specifically on this podcast and then even the Red Sox Nation on and off, right? Despite how well the Red Sox are playing right now. And he's part of the reason he should get credit. But, like, I think back to, like, the contracts with Chaim Bloom. Did he have one good contract? I mean, Devers, and he's gone, right? I will give Craig Breslow some credit at this point. Like, he has signed some really good deals. I mean, think about the young talent we have on this team now between Roman Anthony, Sedan Rafaela, the crochet extension. Like, he's extended our young talent, kind of Braves X, traded for some players, gotten them on reasonable extensions, and then found some hidden gems, right? Giolito, right? Narvaez traded him. And again, do I think he thought this was what it was going to be? No. But he still made the trade and had faith that he could have something for this team. So I'm starting to get a little bit more confidence in Craig Breslow in some arenas and areas of being a general manager, but he has definitely got some things that he's got to improve on, specifically with trades when it comes to the deadline.
Yeah, we were on here last night kind of talking about how awkward Craig Breslow looks at times. There was that game where he was in the Nesson booth, and our guy Nick the Voice sent the video clip into our chat, and him kind of, like, they went to break. He took the headset off, and he had like a stank look on his face. Like, I don't think he realized the cameras were still rolling. Cause he gets the point that, like, nobody likes him, and he comes off awkward, and he doesn't have good social and people skills. And one of the things we heard after the trade deadline was that other executives were saying he was really hard to deal with, that Craig Breslow was really hard to not just, like, negotiate with, but just talk to in general. Like, just in terms of having a casual talk about deals, he was, you know, insufferable to some of these guys. That's a major problem going forward. I mean, this is why Theo Epstein is here. Terry's made this point before. Like, they had to beg Theo to come back, be like, can you coach this kid on, like, how to talk to other executives? Because he just can't do it. He doesn't have that suave, that kind of, you know, charisma that Theo has. So, and I don't know how much longer Theo's willing to stick around and just be an advisor to this guy. There's probably much better things he'd be doing with his time. So I think that's why the trade deadline didn't go your way. I think that he's having a hard time getting through to other executives, and they just don't want to talk to him. He's just that awkward and that off-putting. One thing about the Yandy Diaz deal that I'll put out there, Clay Ingersoll in our chat brought it up, and Jared Carrabas, depending on how you feel about him, but I think he's pretty well tapped. I think he's got some pretty reliable sources. He indicated on Twitter that the Rays asked for Sadon Rafaela in exchange for Yandy Diaz. And if that's the case, I'm hanging up the phone too. Yeah. I would have loved Yandy Diaz here, but Sadon Rafaela, the way he's going, no. He's part of that young core that you talked about, the Bayos, the Crochets, now Roman Anthony, that, like, you should be building around. You don't trade him for a 33-year-old first baseman who's going to be a DH pretty soon. So if that was the case, if that is true, and I tend to believe it is, then I'm not surprised they didn't get Yandy. But why not do something similar to what the Royals did? They went out and got Yastrzemski, and they got Randall Grichuk to supplement their outfield. They basically went out and got their own platoon. right? Grichuk handles lefties, Yastrzemski handles righties. The Red Sox could have done something like that. You could have gotten Mike Yastrzemski for a song from San Francisco. They didn't want to hang on to him. You could have had your own platoon at DH with two veteran outfielders who have a little bit of pop, you know, and look, if you want the added, you know, sort of, whatever you call it, nostalgia factor of having a Yastrzemski in a Red Sox uniform, fine. But they could have done something like that. The Royals did it, no problem. And Craig Breslow couldn't pull it off for whatever reason. So that did kind of hurt, and it certainly shows in a game like tonight. But at the end of the day, we'll focus on sort of the big positive out of today, which is the Roman Anthony extension. 8 years, $130 million. Jeff Passan reported that there are escalators within that deal that could bring it up to a total of $230 million. I believe a lot of those are like if he makes Rookie of the Year or where he finishes in the Rookie of the Year standings. Probably a lot of just other statistical escalations, total at-bats, you know, stuff like that. But Roman Anthony, at least at this point, is poised to make, you know, between $17 and $20 million a year for the next 8 years for this team. So, Mark, I'll start with you. I mean, when you saw the news, you must have been pretty excited, right?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it feels good to be able to lock up these young guys. I mean, if you've been touting prospects like the Red Sox brass has been doing, you know, for the past, you know, couple of years, since like 2020, right? You got to get these guys signed. You got to get them locked in. And, you know, I was thinking about this today after they signed Anthony. If they can win this year in the playoffs, get some wins, get some excitement at Fenway. By the way, one of the big changes this year from the previous couple of years is their record at Fenway Park. You guys know this. I mean, they said it tonight on the broadcast. They're playing really well at Fenway. The crowd's into it. Players feed off that. Last couple of years, it has not been like that at all. They've had a terrible home record the past couple of years. But if they can get these guys locked in, if they can win a series or, you know, go deep, do a deep playoff run, these young guys who we have locked in, they're really going to feed off that, I think. And I think it's going to be a real positive thing for the ball club. And I know, Terry and I went back and forth on this today a little bit. Even at $230 million, if Roman Anthony hits those markers, I still think it's going to be kind of a bargain at this point.
Yeah, it's for sure. Because, I mean, to your guys' point, if it's incentive driven, you know, based off the statistics and things that he's hitting, means he's probably doing well. And if he's doing well, $230 million is an absolute bargain in comparison to what, you know, some of the young talent, even not so young talent in the MLB gets. Because a lot of these guys, and the MLB's changing, these guys are signing young and they're not hitting free agency until the late 20s. And that's still relatively young for some baseball players, depending on their position. And then they're getting 15-year deals in their late 20s into their early 40s. So I think it's a great deal, you know, pending obviously injury, which you can never speculate. And to be honest with you, I really feel like that's one of the things that got this deal done. I think that Roman Anthony, you know, I'm not saying his back situation. I know some people are like, oh, maybe his back spooked him. I think watching his friend, Marcelo Mayer, who he basically came up behind, he was ahead of him. And then his injury basically catapulted Roman Anthony past him. And then he just never looked back. But then they both made it to the major leagues. In fact, Marcelo got called up first. And to be fair, got off to a little bit of a hotter start. Showed a little bit more power too in the beginning. Both play, I mean, and obviously, you know, Marcelo had the better defense, I would say, out of the two as well. But then he's hurt, and it's a nagging injury that's held him back at the, you know, minor league level and now in the major league level. How could Roman Anthony not look at that and think to himself, that could happen to me? Do I really want to take that risk? Because let's face it, Marcelo Mayer may not be getting an extension from the Red Sox. And if he does, it is not going to be looking like Roman Anthony's. That much I can promise you. No matter what he does defensively, no matter what he does in the batter's box, if he keeps this up with injuries, which is somewhat out of his control, he's not going to get that extension. So good for Roman. Again, credit to Craig Breslow, because I did not have the confidence he would get this done. And I think a lot of times we're talking about Craig Breslow, we forget he was the 12th choice. Like, I think sometimes we hold him to the standard like he's a normal major league baseball GM. He was the 12th choice for the Boston Red Sox. 11 other guys were like, nope. And God knows how many AI weeded out before that. So for a guy who was the 12th choice, when I look at it like that, he's really not doing that bad. There's things he has to work on. If we could upgrade, would I be open to it? 100%, especially with the young team that we have. But give credit where credit is due. He has taken a lot of our young talent, signed them, and put us in a position now where when we make moves like the Devers contract and we have that money off the books, we don't have to look there and go, man, we're going to have to sign Zaydan Rafael. Man, we're going to have to sign Crochet. Man, we're going to have to sign Roman Anthony. Nope. They're signed. They're pretty damn reasonable deals considering what the going rate is in the MLB right now. That opens up a ton of flexibility for this team moving forward if they are truly going to chase a World Series in the next 3 to 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, we went from being a team the last couple of years that was solely built around one guy, and it was Rafael Devers, to now being a team that's built around 3 to 4 guys that are under 26 years old. I mean, Crochet, Bayo, Zaydan, Roman, you know, these are now your building blocks. It's not just one guy that you're depending on. It's all those guys now. And this is where you start to build out from there. Now you're in a position where you can go out this fall and sign a true number two starter, whether it's Dylan Cease, whether it's Framber Valdez, you know, pick whoever you want to go after. Maybe you finally make a trade with Seattle, you know, maybe Seattle falls short again and finally goes, okay, we need to offload one of our pitchers and get some more offense in here. You have so many options now. You don't have just one guy with this massive, you know, almost looking like an albatross kind of salary clocking up the works in Rafael Devers. So I give Breslow a lot of credit for getting the deal done. I think injuries certainly may have motivated Roman Anthony to sign. I mean, you mentioned Marcelo Meyer, and that is a good one. I think about Tristan Casas, who was approached with an extension, did not sign it, and now he may never be the same player again. I mean, he's going to come back. His career's not over, but there's no guarantee that Tristan Casas will ever be what he was supposed to be. That was a massive leg injury. So I think Roman Anthony looks at him and goes, oof, like, that's scary. I mean, I could just blow up my leg running down the first baseline. Now, less likely, I think Anthony's far more athletic than Tristan Casas is, but it can happen to anyone. Marcelo Meyer's a good athlete. He got hurt, like you mentioned. You know, injuries do happen. They're a real part of the sport. There are a lot of guys who miss a lot of time, and unfortunately, these teams that don't want to pay, you know, too much money, they take advantage of that. You know, oh, well, you had a massive injury, so we're going to knock like $7-8 million off, you know, the final price. So I think that had a lot to do with it. I also wonder if this talk about a potential salary cap coming into baseball, I wonder if that has something to do with it. I think a lot of guys want to sign right now when teams are willing to hand out bigger contracts, because if that salary cap comes in, and who knows, I mean, we may be facing a massive lockout in 2027 with this issue, because obviously the players don't want it, but the owners do. If they do impose a salary cap, then you're not going to be seeing these massive deals. It's just, you know, owners going to buckle down and they're going to be a lot more frugal. So probably a lot of that had to do with it. But at the end of the day, the Red Sox approached him and said, we're ready to sign you. We've seen what we want to see. We want to extend you here. You know, we're willing to give you this amount. We're willing to put escalators into the deal. Like, they did well by Roman Anthony and he did well by them. Just sign the deal. Let's go, you know, because this team does have a good core going forward. And obviously Anthony sees that. He sees the potential for this team to go to the playoffs, you know, hopefully year after year, and maybe even World Series at some point. So I thought it was a great deal to get done. I so much prefer the core they have now with, you know, multiple guys, including pitchers, not just one big fat third baseman who you hope hits 50 home runs a year. So it's really great to see. And I think that, you know, Breslow did a very good job. And, you know, it kind of sucks because, unfortunately, here in Boston, the media always has to twist things a little bit. So, you know, they were called cheap today because, oh, you never pay for free agents. You only sign your own guys. You know, we had other guys in the media questioning if Roman Anthony doubts himself. And that's why he took the deal so early, because he doesn't think he can turn into Juan Soto. Like, there's a lot of stupid crap like that flying around. At the end of the day, this is a great deal for both sides. Roman Anthony at 21 years old gets paid, and the Red Sox lock up really their biggest superstar prospect to date in Roman Anthony for a long time. So I don't know how anyone could complain about that deal.
Jason, I'm just curious. Was it on 98.5, the Sports Hub,
that said he was cheap?
Yes. Okay. So I had that in my notes.
Yeah. Both programs too, the midday and the drive time show.
Yep. That was the afternoon show. I heard it. I was grabbing my son from work and I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Cheap. No. Smart. This is a smart decision. And you hope these young guys that you've locked up, including, to your point, you know, including Crochet, you know, you hope they turn out like the, you know, the 90s version of the New York Yankees with the core four. And you have these guys that are going to, again, you know, to repeat myself, win together, learn how to win together, do the winning, feed off each other, and really bring a great product to the Red Sox. And again, you've been telling us about these prospects all the time. Sign them long term. Get them out there on the field. Have them play well. No complaints here, you know. But to your point, too, I do think that certainly Casas and Marcelo, with the injury bugs that they've had, I've never been a Casas guy. I mean, when he was hot, that second half of, what was it? Was it 2023? I believe he was super hot in that second half. He was great, you know, super fun to watch. Really hasn't done anything since or before that. So he bet on himself, and it up until this particular point, he's lost. So, you know, I think I make both those guys available in the offseason. I'm not going to lie to you. I like Marcelo Meyer's game, especially on defense. But if that means getting a top-notch pitcher, which we couldn't get at the deadline, I think, you know, those guys are on the table for kind of a swap.
Yeah, you know, to your comment, Jason, about the media, I don't live up in Boston, so I don't hear – the local media, but I can only imagine it's probably not different than New York. This is the same media that complained when we didn't re-sign Mookie Betts, right? So it's like you can't have it both ways, guys. You can't go, oh, let's wait till they're Mookie Betts and then try and sign them once they already are Mookie Betts, then not be able to. And then complain when you do get talent at a fair price while they're young. And it's kind of like buying a lottery ticket when you have four of the five numbers already and you just don't know if you have that fifth one yet. So we'll just put that aside. But let's just look at the economics of this, right? So you basically, even if you do have the kickers run in and it's $230 million, you essentially almost have both Sadon Rafaela and Roman Anthony for the price of Devers, right? Devers is a little bit cheaper. But if you just look at this year, right, because he's a fat third baseman, and when you look at, like, even the defense, like, Sadon Rafaela is a better second baseman. That's not even his natural position. He could be a gold glover, and Devers is the worst third baseman defensively in the league 7 years in a row, right? And then you look at the offense. Between Sadon Rafaela, 51 RBIs, and then about 20 for Roman Anthony, it's about 71. Rafael Devers only has 78, and he's making a hell of a lot more right now than both of them combined. And if I look at both their batting averages, also better than Rafael Devers. And I get it. It's an off year for Rafael Devers. He might get back to what he were more accustomed to seeing. But Father Time is undefeated. Rafael Devers is not going to get any younger. He's probably not going to get into better shape as he gets older. That's not usually normal. So, and I would venture to guess he's not going to all of a sudden decide he knows how to play third base defensively. So I think we're doing well when we look at that for about the same price, we have these two guys for almost the next decade versus him for the next decade. With all the upside, the age on our side, it's a good deal. And I don't know how anyone could be upset at this point. So, you know, that's the media's job, is to stir things up. But I mean, just sometimes they just sound absolutely freaking ridiculous.
Yeah, today was an all-timer. I mean, the news broke and you thought, okay, wow, you know, this will be a nice break from football talk. They finally are going to talk about the Red Sox because they struggle to do that. And, oh, it's good news. They should be happy. And automatically it's, oh, what a cheap move. And, you know, what has Roman Anthony done to even deserve it yet? And then you get to the drive time show. And it's like, I wonder if he doubts himself. And that's why he took the contract. Maybe he thinks the power is never going to come. It's like, oh, my God. Like, tell me you don't watch the Red Sox without telling me you don't watch the Red Sox. And yeah, it's your point about Devers. It's, I think at this point, you can clearly say the Red Sox are doing much better off without him. I'm not going to say they won the trade because they absolutely did not. The return was not good enough, and you already lost, you know, part of that return. The most intriguing part, as you mentioned earlier, Chris, like, you traded him away for Dustin May. So they definitely didn't win the trade, but the team is better off without that kind of player, that kind of attitude in the clubhouse. Because Rafael Devers, he's going to be a good player his whole career. He's going to hit 30, 35 home runs, maybe 40 at some point. You know, he's always going to do that. But he's not going to improve his defense. He's not going to improve the strikeout rate. And he's just going to keep letting himself go a little bit. I mean, he keeps showing up to spring training out of shape because he goes home, sits on his butt, doesn't do anything, you know, eats too much, and then shows up to spring, takes like half the spring off to get his weight down, and then just climbs to the batter's box and mashes. Like, that's who he is. There's a lot of players like that in the league. He's certainly not the only one, but I'm good. I don't need that kind of player on my team. I don't like rooting for that kind of player. I'd much rather root for guys like Sadon and Bayo and Roman Anthony, these young guys who you can see they put in the work. You can see that they care. Are they perfect? No, but they try damn hard, and they care about winning, and they care about each other. So the vibes have just gotten so much better, and they got even better today with the Roman Anthony extension. And we'll see what happens with guys like Marcelo Meyer. We'll see what happens with Alex Bregman. I know that that's going to be a guy that I think we're all going to pivot to now. If you can get him to sign an extension and get him to not opt out, really secure that third base side, I think we'll all feel a lot better. And with Marcelo Meyer, that's going to be interesting because Trevor Story is now having the kind of second half where you got to worry about him potentially opting out too. He has that in his contract. He can opt out after this year. And if Meyer is kind of injury prone and they're not sure about him, then they might be looking at Trevor Story going, ooh, can we work out something there too? Because we don't want you to go, actually. if you found the fountain of youth here, then, you know, we'd like to keep you for a little bit longer. So it will be interesting. Greg Breslow still has some difficult decisions to navigate, but I will say trade deadline, I wasn't impressed, but so far with locking up the young talent and shaping the roster the way that he wants to, I'm pretty impressed with what he's done so far. So any closing thoughts before we head out?
Just one real last, quick. Oh, go ahead, Chris.
No, go. I was just going to say the analogy I have for the Devers trade, because, yeah, I would agree. It looks like we lost on paper, but it's like the 2018 World Series Game 3. We lost that game, but ultimately we won the World Series. And that's how I feel about the Devers trade, because I still see a lot of animosity where it's like, oh, man, we got killed in this trade. It's like, when you're dumping that much money, you're probably not going to win that trade. And I agree with you, Jason. At this point, we are not winning it on a player-by-player basis. But getting him out of here, removing him from this culture and the thing that we are trying to build and what Craig Breslow is trying to build, it's a no-brainer. Like, we lost that battle, but we will win the war long-term.
Yeah, Chris, and to your point, I think people may forget this. I mean, the Mookie Betts trade was a salary dump as well, because David Price was included in that trade. And that's part of the reason why they sent him out, was because the Dodgers were willing to take on David Price's contract, which that part of the trade was smart for the Red Sox, I guess. I mean, things went sideways with COVID and everything else after that, but you know, I'd have to look it up. I don't know off the top of my head, but you know, they did owe Price more money. But to the Devers point, that was a, you know, both trades were a salary dump, and the players we got back weren't great because ultimately we traded Mookie Betts for Connor Wong. And there you go. Real quick, Jason, on your point, I don't think there's any room, you know, wasn't any room for him on the roster. Left-handed hitting outfielder. We already have a jam up in the outfield, but you know, Mike Yastrzemski for nostalgia points. I mean, he crushes it at Fenway. He's hitting 320 there all time. You know, I'm a kid from the 80s, and I get to see Yaz play live, and you know, it's just super cool to see him play. I know there's not a place for him. I don't want him. He's 34 years old, but like, I kind of want him. You know what I mean? Like, so anyway, just shout out to Mike Yastrzemski, because he does, when he goes to Fenway Park, he kills it.
Yeah, 100%. And you know what? I'd take him if I'd take him for Yoshida straight up. No team in the right mind would ever do that, but I'd do that. Like, absolutely. Just to have another Yaz playing at Fenway, sure. No, why not? But yeah, we can only dream at this point, unfortunately. So we will wrap it up on that. We'll be back tomorrow night for another episode of Hot Takes. So be sure to send those in to the Bastards account on Twitter. Give us your hot takes, whatever they may be. We'll break them down on the show. And then we'll be back again on Friday. We'll be talking about the San Diego Padres series. Big series out west this weekend. It's going to be probably the toughest test the Red Sox have had in a little bit. So big series against San Diego this weekend. Get ready for that. Otherwise, we will see you guys tomorrow night for Hot Takes. Everyone, have a good rest of your Wednesday night. We'll see you later. Take care.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Finish up projects with GE-branded silicone sealants. Tub and tile silicone is 100% waterproof and offers same-day water readiness, making it perfect to use in kitchens and bathrooms. Shop our selection of GE sealants in-store and on Menards.com and save big. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to view all of our other great deals happening this week. Save big.